Tonight, just for a few moments, we're going to look at the book of Exodus, starting in chapter number 13. Exodus chapter 13. And just put your finger there for a moment, and we'll get right into the Word. Tonight, for a few moments, I want to preach on the thought called the dilemma test. Would you say that with me tonight? The dilemma test. Say it one more time, the dilemma test. Look to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, sometimes you will be faced with a test, and it will be a dilemma. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have together in your house. We pray, Lord, that you would open our ears and our hearts, that we would hear your word, that your word would go forth in power and in boldness. We will not fail to praise you for this. And everyone shouted a great big amen. I'm sure that we've all read the book of Exodus before, and we know what's going on in the story. That God raised up a man by the name of Moses. God appointed and anointed Moses to lead God's people out of the land of bondage. The land of bondage is the land of Egypt. Of course, Pharaoh was a hard taskmaster, and he put God's people into slavery. But God had a plan, and he raised up Moses, anointed him, and appointed him so that he could go and lead God's people out of the land of bondage and lead them into a land flowing with milk and honey. As you look at the story of Exodus, this is the story that it's unfolding, how God is using Moses and anointed him and appointed him to leading God's people out. You will see that it wasn't just easy, queasy at first. There were some situations that God had to work out for them to be led out of bondage. And you know what? Sometimes we read stories and we see how God's plan for us is to be led out of bondage. You know, and I've discovered some things. Bondages are bad, but battles are not. And I'm going to say that again. Bondages are bad, battles are not. All of us is going to have to face some battles. And we're going to have to use the weaponry that God has called us to use. But bondages are bad. That's demonic. He doesn't want you to be in bondage, but you might have to be engaged in some battles. And there's a difference between battles and bondages. And so as you progress in the Lord and as you grow in the Lord, you're going to have to distinguish, is this a battle or is this a bondage that I'm in? And so in the book of Exodus, these people had to engage in battle, but they were also enslaved in bondage. And God's plan and God's desire was for these people to be set free, and he's using Moses to do so. And one of the greatest miracles in the Old Testament is found in the context of Moses and the children of Israel. It's called the Red Sea. And these people, God's people, being led by Moses, Pastor Moses, they come up to the Red Sea. And of course, the Red Sea is a dilemma. And they had to make a decision. Do we trust God or do we go back to Egypt? What do you do when you're faced with a dilemma that challenges your faith? And these people had to make a decision. And so I want you to see a few principles in this dilemma test. And these principles are very applicable to your life. I want you to see that in Exodus chapter number 13. I want you to look at verse number 17. Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 17. Look at this. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. Now, I want you to pay attention. Leave that scripture up there. And I want you to see this scripture because it's very powerful. The very first thing I want you to see here is the dilemma. There is a major dilemma going on. And you see this dilemma in chapter 13. And I want you to look very closely to verse number 17 again. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead the people by the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. For God said, lest perhaps these people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. The very first thing I want you to see in the dilemma is this, that God sometimes will lead you to a dilemma. God will lead you to the dilemma. And I want you to also see here is that God's way sometimes is the long way. Now, I said a mouthful, but I want to say it again. God's way sometimes is the long way. Say that again with me. God's way sometimes is the long way. Because what does the scripture say in chapter 13? That God could have led them through the land of the Philistines, which was near, but he did not. He led them another way, which was what? Longer. So sometimes when you are faced with a dilemma, sometimes it is God's plan that you're there. But not only is it God's plan, sometimes God will put you in a situation that it causes it to be longer. Now, that is not shouting ground, and we certainly don't want to shout about it, but sometimes God's will is that we go around it the long way, because he knows our hearts, he knows our intentions, he knows what we're going through, and he knows exactly where to put us so that our heart is formed and fashioned after his will. Now look at verse number 13. Verse number 3 of chapter 14. Look at this. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 3. This is so powerful. Exodus 14 verse 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Sometimes, not only in this dilemma is it God's will, sometimes God's will is the long way, but sometimes God's will is closed in a way. Sometimes God will close things because there's another door that God wants to open up. And so look at verse number 4. This is interesting. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Exodus chapter 14, verse 4. I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh, over his army, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. You see, sometimes God's way is the hard way. Look at verse number 4. You see, Pharaoh's heart was hardened so that he would pursue after them. Look at it. So he will pursue after them so that God would get the honor. So what do you see in a dilemma? You'll see that sometimes it is God's plan that it is the dilemma that you're in. Sometimes, not only is it God's plan, sometimes it's the long way. Sometimes God will make sure that you go the long way. God could have chosen for these people to go a different way by the way of the Philistines, but his way wasn't that way. It was the long way. And not only is it the long way, it's the closed way. Sometimes he will close the door so that he will gain honor in your life. Sometimes it's the hard way. You see, what are you saying, preacher? I am simply saying this. It's not always the easy way. Because God is more concerned about your growth than he is about your comfort. I've said that last night, but I think it's a mouthful, and I think it's true that God is more concerned about your growth than he is about your comfort. But look at this, Exodus 13, verse 21. Look at the promise from the Lord. Exodus 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of cloud to lead them, and by night as a pillar of fire to lead them by light. So he was with them day and night. Verse number 22. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people of God. So in other words, even though it was God's way, even though it was the long way, even though it was a hard way, even though it was a closed way, God says, I'm going to be with you all the way. Somebody say amen. Even though it was the closed way, even though it was the hard way, even though it was God's way, God says, I'm going to be with you all the way. And sometimes when we're faced with a dilemma, all we see is the dilemma. All we see is the hardship. But God is saying, I'm going to be with you all the way. When you find yourself in a dilemma, I want you to remember this. When you find yourself in a dilemma, remember this. When God is ready to give you a new experience with Him, He will allow you to be put in a situation that only He can bring you out. Can I say that again? This is really interesting. When God is ready to give you a new experience with Him, He will allow you to be put in a situation that only He can get you out of. The children of Israel was faced with a dilemma. What was the dilemma? The Red Sea. The dilemma was the Red Sea. The dilemma was the wilderness experience. But God Himself caused it to be. God Himself caused it to be the long way. He is the one that shut the door. He's the one that led the children of Israel around a different route. It was His will. But God says, even though it's the long way and the hard way, it's my way, but I'm going to be with you all the way because I am positioning you to give you a new experience with me. Amen. When God is ready to give you a new experience, He will allow you to be put in a situation that only God could get you out of. They were getting ready to approach the Red Sea, and God knew He was the only one that can bring these people out of the Red Sea. If you are in the will of God, sometimes God will use that dilemma so that He could get the glory. How in the world could you ever know God's a healer unless somebody is sick? How will you even know that God could provide for you unless there's lack in your life? How will you ever know that God could perform the impossible unless you're faced with an impossible situation? You see, sometimes the hardship is an opportunity for God to work in your life. I want you to look at this, Exodus 14 and verse number 10. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Not only do you see the dilemma, but number two, you see the conflict. You see the conflict. What is the conflict? Well, look at it. The conflict was that they were in a situation that they couldn't get out of. The Egyptians were marching after them. That's a conflict, my friends. And the Bible says in verse number 10, they begin to cry out to the Lord. Look at verse number 11. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us? And why did you bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that you told us in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. Listen, isn't it interesting here? Isn't it interesting that they cried out to God, but yet they complained to Moses? Now look at the story. They cried out to God. Look, verse number 12. And Pharaoh drew near, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were chasing after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. In verse number 11, and they said to Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. Isn't it interesting that we have a tendency to cry out to the Lord and at the same time complain to leadership? That's our nature, isn't it? They cried out to God, but they complained to Moses. They're calling on God, but they're blaming man. Listen, when you find yourself in dilemma, remember this. Remember this. Number one, I told you, remember that sometimes when you're placed in a situation that you can't get out, that is a sign that God's trying to elevate you to a new experience. But I also want you to remember this. When you're in a dilemma, remember, don't go back because the day is bad. Because they're in a bad day, aren't they? The Egyptians are coming upon them. And here these people are frightened. They say to Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. You should have left us there. You've brought us out in the wilderness to die. You should have left us there. And listen, my friends, when you find yourself in a dilemma, you've got to always remember this. Don't go back when the day gets bad. When the Egyptians are chasing after you, when you feel like your heart is sick and you want to go back to what is familiar, when you want to blame everybody and you don't understand, remember, don't go back when the day gets bad. Somebody say that with me. Don't go back when the day gets bad. You see, that's what the children of Israel wanted to do. They wanted to go back to what is familiar. Have you ever met somebody that God brings them out of conflict? He brings them out of dilemma. He brings them out of hardship. And their life is so messed up that they have to run back to that. They just can't find peace unless they're involved in drama. They can't find peace unless they're involved in conflict. And the children of Israel were in bondage for over 400 years. And now they have the audacity to tell Moses, you should have left us in Egypt because they had a bad day in the wilderness. My friends, let me remind you, God has brought you out of too much for you to go back to what God delivered you from. He brought you out of too much for you to go back. Don't go back because the day gets bad. And listen, as a pastor, I have seen hundreds of people come to the altar and God deliver them. God set them free. God filled them with the Spirit. And when something goes wrong in their life, they don't have a root system. They're not deep in the Word. They're not deep in community. They're not deep in Scripture. And guess what happens? They give it up and they go back to the world. And I am prophesying to you tonight, God has not called you. He didn't pick you up out of the miry clay for you to go back to the pigsty. Amen. And here the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, but because they were having a hard day, they wanted to go back. God's not called you to go back because it's a hard day. Amen. He called you to keep moving forward. Now, you see the dilemma, you see the conflict, but I want you to see the perspective here. The perspective. Go to Exodus chapter 14. I want you to see verse number 13. Exodus 14 and verse number 13. Now, this is the perspective of Moses. He says this, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and you will hold your peace. You know what Moses does? Here is a spiritual leader and he stands up and he gives a spiritual perspective in the dilemma. And what does he do? He brings a spiritual perspective to this dilemma. He says, verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. All you got to do is keep quiet. Sometimes, my friends, we lose the victory because we're always trying to open our mouth and say too much. What was the word of the Lord when the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho? If you read the scripture, the word of the Lord was this, march around these walls for 7 days. Every time you march around the walls, the Bible says, and Joshua said to the people, keep your mouth shut. So the children of Israel had to march around the walls of Jericho silently for 7 days. They had to keep their mouth shut. My friends, the Lord says here, Moses says, the Lord is going to fight for us, but you got to keep your mouth shut because your words create worlds. Can I hear an amen? And you got to be careful what you say when you find yourself in a dilemma. Amen. That's why Job got discouraged because he had three friends that couldn't encourage him in the dilemma. You need somebody in your life that knows you know how to network with. Come on, somebody. That you know how to bring you up in the Spirit. That is why when Mary and Elizabeth came together in the New Testament, the Bible says that that baby began to leap in her womb. When Mary and Elizabeth came together, because you need somebody in your life that causes that dream to come alive. You need somebody in your life to cause that baby to jump again. You need somebody in your life to speak to you and cause that baby to jump in your spiritual womb. Sometimes we hang around with people to kill the dreams within us, and there's nothing leaping on the inside of us anymore. But when Mary and Elizabeth came together, that baby jumped up in the womb, because when two people come together in the Spirit of the Lord and they begin to encourage each other, things become alive in our spirit again. Oh, I love to get around people. I love to get around your pastors. We talk about the Word and talk about Scripture. And guess what that does? It causes dreams to come alive. Causes the Word to come alive again. And here God, Moses says, keep your mouth shut, be quiet, because the Lord is going to fight for us. Can I tell you something? I've come all the way from Joplin to let you know God is going to fight for you. I said, God's going to fight for you. You're going to see God work in your life. Amen. Don't go back to Egypt because you have a bad day. Amen. Don't go back to Egypt because you have a bad day. Remember this when you're in a dilemma. Sometimes in the dilemma, you got to be quiet and do nothing and march with your feet. Don't try to figure it out, but continue to march. The frustration of your dilemma will be reinforced if you don't seek a spiritual perspective greater than your own. I'm going to say that again. When you're in a dilemma, the frustration of your dilemma will be reinforced if you don't seek a spiritual perspective greater than yours. You see, Moses had a spiritual perspective greater than the people he was pastoring. The people he was pastoring, their perspective was this: you should have left us in Egypt a long time ago. We just want to go back. But there was a man of God by the name of Moses that gave a greater spiritual perspective. And he says this: we're not going back because the Lord has done too much for us. He's brought us out too much. He didn't bring us out here to die. The Lord will fight for us. Just keep quiet. And when you are in a dilemma, listen to me, when you are in a dilemma, the frustration of your dilemma will be reinforced if you don't seek a spiritual perspective greater than yours. If you hang around with Slick Willie and Debbie Downer, and when you're in it, and if your name is Debbie, that's no, you know. If you're hanging around with people that's not making that thing jump on the inside of you, then your frustration will be reinforced. You got to seek a spiritual perspective greater than yours. You must appeal to someone who has a spiritual perspective. And Moses had a spiritual perspective that was greater than theirs. I want you to see the solution to this. Exodus chapter 14. Now let's go on. Let's look at verse 16. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand. Or look at verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel, just go forward. Hallelujah. Why are you crying to me? Just tell them to move forward. Just go ahead and go. And some of you have been fasting and praying, and that's good. But some of you don't need to fast and pray about everything. You need to go home and eat your cheeseburger. There are some things you don't need to pray about. There are some things you don't need to fast about. Well, I don't know if I need to serve in the Lord. Pastor, let me pray about it. You don't need to pray about serving the church. You don't need to pray about being generous. You don't need to pray about being forgiving. You don't need to pray about coming to church. You don't need to pray about going to work on Monday morning. There are some things you don't need to pray about. Just get up and get moving. And most of our life we spend in prayer, praying about things God says, just get up and go. Miss Reese don't get up on the mornings and says, she doesn't come to me and say, oh, Daddy-O, can you tell me what your will is for me today? She doesn't do that. She knows what I expect. Get up. Go brush your teeth, go to the table, and have your breakfast. And when you're done with your breakfast, then you can go and watch your show for the morning. She understands that there is a routine. And when you have a relationship with the Father, you don't need to pray about everything. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you, and you know what to do because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. In the Old Testament, God would speak verbally, but in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit leads us. Because everybody's waiting for an audible voice. And one of the most frustrating things as a pastor that I got to deal with, and I'm just going to say it because, you know, I don't pastor you, so I can just tell you what frustrates me. You know what frustrates me? Everybody hears from God. God said. Well, what am I supposed to say when you tell me God said? You give me the trump card, I don't know what to say. God said. I don't care. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, said that God said there's 12 golden tablets. I don't care what your experience is. What does the written scripture say? If it doesn't confirm with your experience, you need to throw it out. And we're no better. Listen, don't come up in here criticizing the Catholic Church because we're no better. They go to cathedrals and watch statues cry, and some crazy Pentecostals go to churches and look at gold dust falling from heaven. All I want is people just be faithful to church. If the gold dust might not come, if it comes, praise God. People come to church. God, oh, Lord, I've been praying. I got gold in my mouth, Pastor. Yeah, but last week you got mad at me, wouldn't shake my hand, cussing in the parking lot, won't forgive your neighbor, you don't tithe, and somehow you have this spiritual experience. Boy, I'm preaching better than your shout. There are some things you don't need to pray about. Get up and keep moving. Should I buy this car? Should I buy the new house? Should I buy this new boat? And if you have any of that, that's fine. But don't come to the altar and say there's a devil of debt. You see what I'm saying? There are some things you have the permission to make a decision for and move on if it's not against Scripture. Look what he says here. He says this, and the Lord will fight for you. Now, this is about to get good right here. Verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel, just go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel will go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And indeed, I will harden. You know what? We read that and we're like, oh, that's really good. But the Lord says, I'm going to roll up the waters and I'm going to want you to walk on dry ground. Because that's a miracle too. Because the ground should have been muddy because of the water. But God says, not only am I going to roll up the water for you, I'm going to make the ground dry so that you can walk across it quickly and escape the Egyptians. Woo! Can I hear an amen? He said, I'm going to fight for you. He says, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel will go on it on dry ground in the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all of the army and over his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, the chariots and his horsemen. Amen. Do you see what's happening here? I want you to go to verse number 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all night, all that night, and made the sea into dry ground, and the waters were divided. Verse number 22. So the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to the right and to the left. Look at verse number 29. But the children of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and on the left. Verse 30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptian die on the seashore. Then Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Listen. The solution to the problem was this. Here, they're up against the sea. Here, the Egyptians are chasing after him. And the solution was simple. The solution was to obey God and walk by faith. Get up and keep moving, Moses. Keep on moving, Moses, and I'm going to have you to walk on dry ground. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, by faith, the Bible says, they crossed over on dry ground. You see, faith doesn't automatically eradicate fear. Just because you have fear doesn't necessarily mean you don't have faith. Faith doesn't automatically eradicate fear. Sometimes you got to do things fearful. But as you do it, faith will override fear. Fear will immobilize you, but faith will mobilize you. Fear operates when faith is present. So therefore, the dry ground, it was stable. Listen to me. When they begin to walk on dry ground, they begin to walk on something that was stable. You see, when you begin to walk in faith, God says this, I will cause stability to come to your life when you walk in faith. When they begin to walk in faith, they begin to walk on dry ground. The dry ground was stability for them as they walked. And that's what faith does. Faith causes stability in our life when it seems as though our life is falling apart. You see, miracles are not just God rolling up the waters, but a miracle is God keeping me stable in the midst of my dilemma. God is saying, listen, I'm not just rolling up the waters. I'm going to keep you stable in the midst of the dilemma. You know, some of you would have lost your mind. You would have went crazy. But God says, I'm keeping you stable in the midst of your dilemma. Is there anybody that can wave your hand and say, I know that God has brought stability in my life. He has provided dry ground for me when I begin to walk in faith. When you find yourself in a dilemma, you need to remember that faith is in your feet, not in your feelings. Faith is in your feet, not in your feelings. If they went by their feelings, they would have never begun to walk. You see, they had to walk before God rolled up the waters. They had to keep the next step. They had to walk in the next step, or God would have never rolled up the waters. If you want to see God work in your life, then my friends, get up and start walking. Get up, start walking in faith. And when you begin to walk in faith, God will begin to put stability in your life, and He will begin to roll up the waters of the dilemma in your life. And the Bible says in Exodus 14:31, and Israel saw. What did they see? They saw God's power on display. They saw that great work that God done. They saw God drown the Egyptians in the Red Sea. You see, when you walk by faith, you will have a bigger view of God than you've ever had. Did y'all hear me? When you walk by faith, you will have a bigger view of God than you've ever had. So you can see something. You know why God, listen, you know why God put you in a dilemma? God put you in a dilemma so you can see something. They're in a dilemma because God wanted to let them see God's power on display. It's only in the context of a dilemma that you will discover who God is. For me to deliver you from yesterday and take you to a different tomorrow, God says, I'm going to have to put a dilemma in your life so that you can see my power on display. What do you do when you find yourself in a dilemma? You got to put faith in your feet and not in your feelings. Feelings are not factual, my friends. It's really interesting. When people get offended, they think they're right. You ever notice that? When people are offended, they automatically think they're right about it. Well, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. You see how feelings can be a gauge. They're not meant to be a guide. You're not called to walk by feelings. Listen, if we walked by feelings, some of us wouldn't go to church. We don't go by feelings. You are not a slave to your right. You are a slave to righteousness. Somebody say amen. I'm not a slave to my rights. I'm a slave to righteousness. Come on, somebody. In a world where everybody has rights, 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 as a Christian, we don't have a right to be right. We have a right to be righteous. Amen. And that's exactly what God did. God put him in a dilemma so that they could see something. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. When you find yourself in a dilemma, remember that faith is in your feet, not in your feelings. When you find yourself in a dilemma, remember this, that the frustration of your dilemma will be reinforced if you don't seek a spiritual perspective greater than yourself. Remember that when you're in a dilemma, you can't go back when you have a bad day. Remember that when you're in a dilemma, that when God is getting ready to give you a new experience with Him, He will allow you to be put in a situation that only He can bring you out. Amen. Sometimes, my friends, God will put you in a dilemma. He will cause you to go around the long way so that His glory may be demonstrated. It's like the man in the book of John who was born blind. It wasn't because of anything he did or his sin, but that the glory of God may be demonstrated in his life. My friends, I am praying for the glory of God. Listen, in closing, I pastor a church in Galena, Kansas, and the building is pretty big if you've ever been there. And the building has two parts. It has a new part and an old part. The old part's been there for 50 years. We remodeled it, and it's the youth facility. Well, we are leasing this building from the Assemblies of God. Now, the Assemblies of God has been very good to us. They've worked with us, been a very, very good partner in this. And they want us to buy it, and we want to buy our building. And so they said, we'll sell the building to you for $3.2 million. Well, we are in Galena, Kansas, a very small town, much smaller than Farmington. We're next to Joplin, but you know, there's not a market value for a building that size. And so we just felt like the Lord says, just hold on, continue to lease this building. And so for years, we've been in this building for over 10 years. And so for years, we have prayed. And you've all been there. We've prayed and we've walked around the building and we've prayed, Lord, give us this building. Now, this is not something we just pray about once in a while. We put it on the screen. We stretch our hands forth. We're asking the Lord, give us this building debt free. Lord, give us this building debt free. Because we know the building's a big building. We have insurance and upkeep. We don't want another payment. So we're asking the Lord, give us this building. Give us this building. Well, one Sunday night last year in October, we were in church on a Sunday night and we had one of our staff pastors preach, Sister Kathy, and she was preaching. At the end of the sermon, she said, let's just stand across this building. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to get out of our seat and walk around this building, and every place that our foot touches, let's claim that this building is ours again. Let's claim this. The Lord has given this building to us. So we get out of our seat like we've done many times before. We're praying over this building, and that night I felt something different. And my friends, sometimes when you pray, you gotta really pray. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when you pray, there's this release on the inside of you that you know it's done. You don't see anything physical, nothing's done physical, but inwardly you know it's already done. Have you ever been there before? You prayed until you have prayed and you know it is done. And so that night I just felt like, oh, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done. So we went home. That was Sunday evening. That week I fell asleep on the couch on Wednesday night. And so Tiffany was in the room, I guess, watching TV or with Reese or something. Well, I had fallen asleep. Well, in the middle of the night, I heard Tiffany get up out, run through the hallway. Josh, Josh, get up, get up, get up. Well, it scared me because I thought something was wrong with our child. And she says, get up, Josh. The church is on fire. I said, what in the world? I get up. I said, well, how do you know the church is on fire? She said, the youth pastor said the church is on fire. We need to get in the car. We need to get in the car. So I'm trying to, you know, you got crusties in your eyes. So I got crusties in my eyes, and I'm trying to, you know, get my shoes on and get in the car. And so we get the baby, and we're running to the car. And so I'm in the car, and I'm going as fast as I can to be safe. And so we're going, and the youth pastor's wife is texting Tiffany, yes, the church is legitimately on fire. So we're on our way. And as I'm going, I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing? And the Lord said to me, I heard his voice. The Lord said to me, I did it. I said, what? You did it. You did it, Lord. You caught the church. You are a bad dude, Lord. So I'm in the car and I'm going down the road as fast as I can. That's what I heard. Going down, and we get to the church and there's fire trucks everywhere and there's flames just engulfing this building. And I'm standing out there like, and all I hear is, I did it. So I went over to the fire marshal and I said, what? What happened, dude? What happened? He said, who are you? Well, I don't look like it, but I happen to be the pastor. He says, it looks to me like lightning spontaneously struck this church. Come on, Jesus. I said, what? What happened? He said, yes, lightning hit the steeple. And it was so strong that you had a grounder or something that would prevent that. But it was so strong, it burned it out and caught the whole building on fire. I'm like, oh, my God. I said, well, okay, well, I'm just going to step back here. Just watch the Lord work. Come on, somebody. Woo! So I called the Assemblies of God. You know, there's a landowner. Called him in the middle of like 4 o'clock. I said, you wouldn't believe what's going on up in Galena. He responds. He says, I told him. He says, Pastor John, this is the text man. Do you think this is an act of God? I was like, I don't know. Because he knows we've been praying for it. I mean, I tell him all the time. He walks in the building. He says, well, Pastor Josh, we still want 3.2 million. I said, I know that's what you want, but the Holy Ghost is working for it. That's what I tell him all the time. And he'll laugh at me. And I'm telling, the building's ours. The building's ours. The building's ours. He says, I know. And he just agrees with me, but he still wants his $3.2 million. Well, anyway, the insurance company came the next couple of days, and they're viewing the building, want to make sure that, you know, we didn't do it. And of course, that's fine, you know. And so he comes in to the office with me and some of the other pastors, and he concludes that it looks like lightning struck this. And he says, he's telling me, he says, on the insurance paper that I fill out, Reverend, he says, I have to, the category that we put this under is, this is an act of God. I said, can you say that again? He said, yeah, in the category we call an act of God. Lord, you're so fast forward a few months, the Assemblies of God called and said, okay, we're going to demolish that building because it's old. Now, granted, my building is 60,000 square feet. So is that right? That building is an older building and we've had trouble with it. So I'm not disappointed. It's gone. I have enough space to do what I need to do. I had never dreamed it would happen, but I'm like, and so they come back and say, well, Pastor Josh, this is what the AG said. Well, I guess we're going to lower it now. I said, really? So we're going to knock it from 3.2 to 1.6. I said, okay. He says, Pastor, don't be praying for nothing else to happen. Two months later, we had a severe storm. And it flooded the east part of the building, the new part. Standing water. I called back to the insurance, or to the AG, said, you're not going to believe what happened. He said, you didn't have another fire, did you? I said, no. I had a flood. So they come out and stopped all lease payments and gave me brand new carpet, brand new walls, give it all of it's brand new. And I'm walking through the church. This building's not even ours yet. And I'm getting everything brand new. Come on, somebody. I'm getting it brand new. What is the point that I'm trying to tell you? I'm in a dilemma. I'm at the Red Sea. But I promise you, there's going to come a day when the building is completely ours. It's ours. Because the Lord said to me, I'm going to fight for you. And you know what the Lord said to me a couple years ago, as I was praying, before I was married, I was on my hands and knees praying in my house. And I heard the Lord. It was 3:00 in the morning. The Lord said to me, son, if you devote yourself to prayer, I will take care of that building. And my friends, that's exactly what God is doing. Seek ye first the kingdom, and everything else will be added to you. Hallelujah. So the word of the Lord to you tonight is don't be discouraged when you find yourself in a situation that you feel like you can't move forward and you can't move back. Remember, you are positioned in a situation for God to show you what he can do in your life. And I'm afraid we're raising up a generation of children that don't know what it means to trust God. Because we give them everything they want and provide everything they need. And when they're placed in a situation when they don't have enough, they fall apart. But when I was growing up, I heard stories of my grandparents saying, we didn't have money for groceries and we prayed and our children would hear us pray and they saw God work and provide for our family. We're living in a generation where people don't have testimonies like that anymore. Because we are afraid of dilemmas in our life. And I'm telling you today, if you're in a dilemma, use it as an opportunity to see God work in your life. Did you hear me? We're in the car the other day. Reese, my air conditioner went out in my car. And you know, it's blazing hot. And I'm sweating. And I have her in the back seat and I have the windows down. And I'm praying like, Lord, help me get this air conditioner fixed. You know, I'm like, Lord. And Reese in the back seats, you know, and I promised her that we would go to Chick-fil-A later. And I'm praying in the car and I heard Reese in the back seat say, Daddy, I'm tired of you praying. All you do is pray. For the love of God, take me to Chick-fil-A. She's smiling because she knows it's true. My friends, you might not always have Chick-fil-A, but I want to let you know, trust God, and God will see you through. Did you enjoy the word tonight? Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Come on, would you stand to your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise tonight? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise tonight. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Listen, when you find yourself in a dilemma, remember this. Remember this. Don't go back when the day becomes bad. When you're in a dilemma, remember that when God is getting ready to give you a new experience with him, he will put you in a situation that only God can get you out. When you're in a dilemma, remember to seek a spiritual perspective greater than your own. When you're in a dilemma, remember that the frustration of your dilemma will be reinforced if you don't seek a spiritual perspective greater than your own. And remember that when you're in a dilemma, the faith is in your feet, not in your feelings. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. This is what we're going to do tonight. Can we just stretch across the aisle and grab somebody's hand tonight? Come on, let's stretch across the aisle and grab somebody's hand tonight. Amen. This is a good crowd tonight. So just stretch across the aisle. Amen. Father, let's pray for our neighbor. Father, I pray right now that the word of God that was preached, Father, I pray right now that it would abide in our hearts, that the word of God would be implanted in the soil of our hearts, that we would hear and obey, that we would have faith to move our feet. Father, I pray tonight for encouragement of those who feel discouraged, those who feel like there's no way out, those who feel like, Lord, that they're up against the Red Sea and the Egyptians are behind them and they don't know what to do or where to go. I pray, Lord, I pray tonight that the seed of the Word of God would be implanted into the soil of our hearts. I pray, Lord, that they would see the power and the glory of God demonstrated in such a way, Father, even in their dilemma, in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I need encouragement, I need prayer, I need strength because I am in a dilemma. I feel as though the Red Sea is in front of me and the Egyptians are behind me and I don't know what to do. If that is you, I don't want you to go home tonight unless there's special prayer for you. On the count of three, without delay, but by the unction of the Spirit, would you get out of your seat, run to the front and say, Pastor, pray for me. One, would you come? Two, three, would you come? Say, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. Pray for me. I'm in a dilemma and I need the Spirit of God to work in my life. Is there any tonight? Is there any tonight that would say, I need the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go before me? The Red Sea is before me, and the Egyptians are behind me, and I need to hear the voice of the Lord. I need the strength to take the next step in my spiritual journey. If that is you, I don't want you to go home tonight without you coming forward, without us believing God for you, in Jesus' name. Now let's just wait on the Lord for a moment. Amen. Let's just wait on the Lord tonight. In Jesus' name.